sun is shining bright. My heart is filled with gladness here above the cares of life. But I've just come through the valley of trouble, fear, and pain. It was there I came to know my God enough to stand and say.
That's one of my favorite songs, amen? Even in the valley, God is good.
Yes, sir, he is.
And he most certainly is good.
Yes, sir.
You know, it is an honor and privilege that I never wished to see Pastor go, but I just thank him so much for giving me an opportunity to preach on
amen.
A Sunday morning, and even to be in the adult class to do that this morning as well. But even to come to this time in service, when I think about one of the things I first learned as a Christian was that whenever the Word of God is open, heaven and hell hangs in the balance.
That's right, Pastor White.
Because people are going to make decisions based on what is brought from the Word of God.
Amen.
And eternity is something that you can only obtain because you're in a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's take our Bibles and we're going to turn over to Genesis chapter number 46. And I'm going to share some things with you this morning before we probably truly get into the message. Let's all stand as we're turning there. That will hopefully set the tone or set the stage for the message this morning.
Amen.
Like I was telling the Sunday school class, a lot of things have been going on in my heart and in my mind here for the last few months. And as I thought about this Sunday morning, I've been wrestling in my spirit about what God would have me to do.
Amen, Pastor.
You know, I never would want to see our pastor leave and have an opportunity to stand in his stead and not be a blessing to God's people.
That's right,
Pastor. I want us to look at Genesis chapter number 46. I'm just going to read let's read the first six verses there. Together. Genesis chapter number 46 and verse 1. Everybody there?
Amen.
And Israel looked journey all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto God of his father, Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in a vision of the night, and Jacob, and he said, Here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall be his hand upon thy eyes. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father, and their little ones, and their wives in the wagon with Pharaoh sent to carry him. And they took their cattle, their goods, and gotten in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him. Father, thank you again for the privilege that we have to be in your house this morning. And God, as I stand in your stead this morning, I pray that you would empty me of yourself. Fill me with your spirit, that things would be spoken as thus saith the Lord. May you meet with us today in a special way. And God, how I pray, if there be anyone here this morning under the sound of my voice that is not sure of heaven being their home, that this would be the day that they would make their decision for you before it's eternally too late. We do pray and lift up our pastor to you, that you keep him safe, that you already used them this morning in the Sunday school hour, and even this moment he may be preaching in the service this morning there in the morning service, that you use him in a special way. But as we come, as many that are under the sound of my voice this morning, there are many needs, and only you can, through your spirit, meet the needs of each and every one. Speak to us, Lord. Have your way. May your spirit move through this building and magnify yourself, because you truly deserve it all. We ask it in Jesus' name. And for his sake, amen. You may be seated. As you all know, just a couple of weeks ago, my wife and I had the opportunity to take our daughter from Shreveport to Cleveland, Ohio. And as I shared last week, a couple of weeks ago, I had a chance to go to a church service there. And Brother Neil, and sometimes when you're listening to a message and God speaks to your heart as you're listening to it, but at the same time, God gives you a message within the message.
Amen.
And as I thought about the nation of Israel, and I think about our country and where we are today in our country, it was a time in the nation of Israel that they were going through a transition. You know, life brings transitions in our lives.
That's right, Pastor.
And as they were transitioning, Jacob had to make some decisions about what he was going to do. And as we know the beginning of the story, we know that here he has a son, Joseph, who was greatly used of God. And Joseph had dreams about this time in history that was going to transpire and happen. And I believe even at that time, Jacob didn't fully maybe even understand that those things were now coming to full fold, but now they were coming, and Jacob was faced with some decisions that he was going to have to make. So there was a transition even in Jacob's life, because Jacob now was going to have to become in submission to his own son because of the position that he had. And sometimes when transitions come in our lives, it changes the people, it changes the places, it changes the positions in our lives. And we got to be aware of God is doing something special in our lives.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
And even as we know the end, that even we take the nation of Israel, they were going into a transition because Jacob's family was going to be moved from where they were and go into Egypt. And God had made a great promise to Jacob that he was not going to just leave him in Egypt, and he was going to make him a great nation. So the transition of the nation of Israel is going through this time, and Jacob is faced with making some decisions. And we know that God carried out his plan because they did become a great nation. And what I want to share with you this morning is that in the transitions of life, I want us to see how God works in our lives. Amen. And one of the things I want to talk to you about this morning is I'm going to talk to you about, first of all, the vehicle that God uses in the transition of life. And I want to share a story with you because I think it's amazing as a son that you would grow up and become mature enough, but become a Christian, and you have the opportunity to be an influence in your own father's life, and going to have some decisions that you're going to put before him to make, and he's going to have to make some decisions that's going to be decisions that's going to affect all eternity.
That's right, Pastor White. That's right.
When I think about the vehicle that God uses in the transition of life, I want to share a story with you. The vehicle that God uses. One thing that God uses that's a vehicle is the Word of God.
Amen.
He still uses it as the Word of God. But not only does he use the vehicle that I want to share with you to just kind of parallel this story, he uses a wagon to be a difference in Jacob's life, because when he sees the wagons, it's going to change his whole perspective of who God really is and the transition that he's facing. I want to share something with you about a vehicle in my life.
Oh, amen.
The transition that brought about this, what I want to share with you this morning.
Amen, Pastor.
Because in my father's life, God used a vehicle to transition my place, my position, and my testimony to my father. And it's special to me. I didn't realize this weekend, or even that weekend when I had to drop my baby off, I needed to hear from God.
Yes, sir.
And as I was sitting in the service that day, I wanted God's assurance that it was going to be okay to leave my baby there. And God spoke to my heart. The pastor preached the message about the transition of the nation of Israel. And as I'm thinking about this transition, there's going to be a transition in my daughter's life.
Yep.
And God brought me back into remembrance of the transition that took place in my life and my father. And it was a vehicle that I believe was one of the transitions in my life. I want you to think this morning about some transitions that have taken place in your life. One of the greatest transitions that ever took place in my life was December 1986 when I trusted Christ as my Savior. It made a difference in my life. And the Word of God was what I heard, and the Word of God was what I need, and it made a difference in my life. And I've never been the same. And because of that difference, I became a different person, and I became the person that was different that my father did not know. And God used a vehicle to show my father how God has changed his son's life.
Yes,
sir. One time in my life when I was in the military, Teresa and I came home to buy a car. And you said, why you buy a car? Well, sometimes you can buy one overseas, which is possible. But we wanted to get a car. We're going to ship it back to Germany where we were. And so doing, we went shopping looking for a car when we landed back in the States. And as we got there, we started looking, and we came back from Virginia. We lived in North Carolina. We went into Virginia and came back, and my brother-in-law called me and told me about a car that was in the Ford place that's right uptown from where we live. Brother Hall knows what I'm talking about because he's just down the road from where I live.
Amen.
And as we went there that afternoon on a Saturday, the place was closed. So my dad was with me, and he said, let's look around and see if we can find this car that my brother-in-law was talking about. So we began to look around, and we couldn't see the car. We even looked in the maintenance bay where they might have it in there because we thought maybe they were doing something to it. But we had an idea of what that car was.
And so that night we could not find it and we went home. My dad said, you know what, boy? And let me tell you, when they call you boy, they very serious in the country. That meant a whole lot when they call you boy. And my dad said, boy, let's go down to his house. I know where the guy that runs the place, I know where he lives. And it's out in the country where he lived. So we got up that Sunday morning before going to church. My dad and I drove to this young man's house. And we went to his house. This is the country. Y'all need to understand. My dad was a sharecropper. We lived in a one, probably wasn't much bigger than a shack where I grew up.
Amen.
And we're in the South. And we go up to this house and we're not the same color.
Right.
You with me?
Amen.
And as we went there and we got out and all of these men were in the yard.
Oh, man.
And they all had shotguns.
Oh, my goodness.
They were getting ready to go hunting. And I'm glad I wasn't what they were hunting.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
So we walked up. And my dad said, boy, whoo, you going to go up there and see? I said, yeah, you going to go with me? Yeah, we go.
Yeah.
My dad and I, we got out the car. We walked up to where they were. And as we walked up, I don't know why I can't think of the guy's name. It'll come to me. His boss or the general manager of the Ford company out of Virginia was there in the little town in North Carolina with his manager. And so when I walked up, I told him who I was and told him why I was there. And he said, well, okay. Why don't you just take the car and drive it for a while? My dad looked at me. He said, boy. He gonna give you the car. So what he did, he went to his briefcase. He got out his briefcase and just wrote out on a piece of paper. He's signing his car over to me. And if he's driving it, I have given him the authorization to drive it. Because you don't just do things just any kind of way when you're in the country. And if you've never been in it, you may not know what I'm talking about. So my dad and I get in the car, we drive away, and he said, just bring it back whenever you get done. You know, you can decide if you want it, you can drive. So we get in this car, we drive it away, and we go on. Teresa and I, we get in the car, I go pick her up. She's like, where you get this car? I say, he gave it to me.
Amen.
Told me I can just drive it. So we go to Virginia, we go to the church service over there, and we just riding around driving it. And we come back, hold on, we come back. And as we come back to Virginia, probably about Monday or Tuesday, I can't remember what day it was. We came back and I said, this car is too much. I can't afford to buy this car. It had all of what we call the bells and the whistles and then the whistles that blow on the bells and all of that stuff. So as we drive back to the car lot, he decided that he was going to show me a car that he thought I probably could afford to buy. So when he did that, Brother Neil, we got the other car and they shined it all up and I signed the papers and we go back to my dad's house. And when y'all in the country, when you get something new, you just open it all up. You're looking all in it. You're smelling it. You're looking all around it. It's all clean, smelling good. It was a nice used car. And my dad and I, you know, in the country, they get that old gospel music playing. He found a station, and we and him out there, we just having a grand old time. And we standing around looking at this car, the tires all shining, everything. And nightfall comes.
Amen.
It was already night. Mm-hmm. And I go to lay down. My dad's laying down. And God spoke to my heart. And God told me that He didn't want me to buy that vehicle.
Amen.
And I got up and I walked out and I'm walking in the house in the country. You can hear everything that moves, the crickets, everything talking. And my dad decided to get up and he came out there. He said, boy, what you doing? He's serious now because he's calling me boy.
Boy, yes, sir.
I said, Dad, I can't buy this car. He said, what's wrong? I said, because I don't believe that's what God would have me to do.
Amen.
And my dad just looked at me. He said, he what? I said, it's not something that he would have me to do. So I go back into the room and I got to go talk to my wife, Teresa. God just told me I shouldn't buy that car. Okay, don't buy it. She turned over, go back to sleep. Won't no concern to her.
Amen.
Right? Okay. So the next morning, we get up and we go back to the dealership. And as we walk in, one of the other managers was there, and I told him what I was there to do, and I couldn't purchase this car. He's like, "What you mean?" I said, "I'm not going to buy this car. I'm bringing it back." He said, "Well, you had to wait till the manager get here."
Whoa.
I said, "Okay." My dad said, "Boy, what you got to do?" "What'd he say?" I said, "He said, I got to wait till the manager get here." So the manager comes in, and it's the guy who's house we had went to in the country, right?
Amen.
He comes in, and the other guy's talking to him. They go in the office, and they meet. And as they meet and they talk, and then he said, well Mr. White or Kenny, he called me because he knew who I was. Mm-hmm. He said, "Come on in. Let me talk to you." Nate is his name.
There we go.
Amen. And Nate said, "Kenny, what's wrong?" I said, "Nate, I can't buy this car." He said, "So what's wrong? Is it too much or is it?" I said, "No." I said, "Nate, it's not something that God would have me to do."
Amen.
He kind of turned in his chair. He said, "So you're saying God wouldn't have you to buy the car?" I said, "Nope, God wouldn't have me to buy the car. My dad is my backup."
Mm-hmm.
He's sitting in there and he's looking. And Nate said, "Kenny, I'm going to tell you something. I've never met anybody that believed God like I believe that God would have you not to buy this car."
Wow.
He said, "Don't worry about it. You don't have to if you believe that this is not something that God would have you to do." And he said, "I remember my grandmother telling me that you won't meet many people in your Christian life who really believe in their God."
Amen.
He said, "But when you do, you'll know that you met a person
that's
really walking with God." And he said, "You know, Kenny, we've known each other for a while. I mean, we hadn't seen each other in a while." He said, "But if you ever come back to Harrisville or Hosky, mm-hmm. and I'm here, you need a car, you come here and I give you one."
Well, amen.
"You can drive it for however long you're here."
Amen.
And my dad looking at me and Nate's looking at me. Let me share something with you all about Nate. See, I grew up in the South.
Mm-hmm.
And segregation played a big part in my upbringing.
Mm.
See, Nate and I, we went back a long way. Because when our schools first integrated, we didn't have a great relationship. We fought like cats and dogs. We fought.
Wow.
But it's only by the power of God that somebody could see your life change and believe what you believe. Not only did Nate see the Christ in me, and I'm not, again, as I said this morning, in the morning hour, I'm not bragging on
right.
myself,
right.
but I'm bragging on my God.
Amen.
My dad and I left, and we went home. And I don't remember all of it, but this is what happened. We went home, and my dad said, I never knew that you had that kind of belief in God. I never knew that existed. He said, "But if you say you believe, I believe that you believe in God."
Mm-hmm.
"And I've never seen that before in my life."
Yeah.
Why is that vehicle so important? That vehicle is important because the wagon made a difference in Jacob's life.
Yes, sir.
Because the transition that needed to take place when Jacob makes his final decision, it was because he not only heard the word of God, but he saw the vehicle that God uses to confirm that this was what he needed to do. And how does that relate to my dad? It relates to my dad because I believe that was a transition to where my dad saw Christ in his son.
Amen, Pastor.
I believe when Jacob heard about what had happened to his son, it changed Jacob's life because he got word from his sons that saw their brother who had been exalted in a different position, and life is transitioning and you are faced with a decision. What are you going to do? And I got a chance to witness to my dad. And I believe that that transition, what he saw that day, was more than him just reading this book,
amen,
but him seeing this book,
yes, sir, Pastor,
in a different way. When I say this morning, I want to talk to you about the vehicle which God uses in the transitions of life is, number one, is this. First of all, God needs a witness. And God has called you and I, who are born again, to be witnesses for him.
Yes, sir.
Because when Joseph realized all that was going on, and the Bible tells us in chapter number 45, Joseph could not refrain himself when he really came to know this was why he was where he was, to save much people. And the witness that Joseph gave was sending his brothers. Look at verse number 24 of chapter number 45. He says, so he sent his brethren away, and they departed and said unto them, see that ye fail not out of by the way. And they went up to out of Egypt and came unto Canaan, unto Jacob, their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something, Christian, this morning. Mm-hmm. We ought to be witnesses.
Amen.
And we ought to have a message. And the message is so important because the witnesses wouldn't make any sense if he was not alive.
That's right, Pastor. Amen.
And it's because this morning, Jesus is alive. We have a message to carry out to a lost and dying world. Our country is transitioning into the sinful state that it's in. And God has still called you and I to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it made a difference in my dad's life. The car ain't over yet. But we are to be a witness. And what do we witness? We witness with the word of God. So the vehicle that God uses is witnesses, but God uses his word to transition a life from lost and on its way to hell. God uses the word of God to transition a heart and life where you can receive Christ as your savior and be on your way to heaven. And that's exactly what this picture participate here, I believe, in Jacob's life.
Amen.
The transition of life. And not only do we see the witness, we see the word, because notice what it says that he did. And they told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. You know what? Our world is saturated with unbelief. You know what? You don't have to believe it. They don't have to believe it.
Right.
But it don't change the fact. He's still alive.
That's right, Pastor Wayne.
He's still the answer. We still to be witnesses. No matter what. And no matter what this society decides to do and leave out Jesus Christ, you know what? We're still to hold forth the banner because it is still the answer.
Yes, sir, it is, Pastor.
It's like the preacher was saying it yesterday, and y'all heard me say it before. It ain't in the White House. Mm-hmm. It ain't in the poorhouse.
That's right.
The answer to our society is the Word of God.
Oh, amen to that.
The Word of God. And people want to, I think about what I was sharing in the Sunday school hour. People want to say that we wimps, but we're not wimps. They're wimps because they don't believe the truth.
Right,
it's easy to believe, to disbelieve, but it takes a whole lot of faith to believe that Jesus died, was buried, rose again, and he's in heaven, and he's coming back again.
Oh, amen to that.
Because he's alive, we have a message, and we ought to be witnesses. And we have the Word of God. We have the truth. We have the truth. And Jacob's life was changed. I believe that day my dad's life was changed. I don't know where I'm at in my notes, but I'm going to try to pick up some of them here.
Amen, Pastor White.
But when I think about what has happened was that, you know, where Jacob was or where Joseph was, his whereabouts were so important because he was alive. He was in Egypt, but he was alive. God shows not only that we are to be a witness, and God shows us where his whereabouts were important, but God shows us of the work that he had did in Joseph's life. Joseph now was in a position that he had dreamed of years ago. And so when Jacob heard it, his heart faint, but he didn't want to believe. You know what it tells me? Jacob always had that problem, because when he thought about Joseph, when they brought the Joseph's coat of colors, what did Jacob say? He's dead. Mm-hmm. He's gone. But Jacob didn't have any evidence that he was dead. All he saw was the coat. But you know, our world today will mock faith and have more trust in something that's impossible or even obscured. You can't even believe.
Amen.
Because you don't know. But you know what? You don't have to have evidence for disbelief and doubt.
Amen.
You have to have faith. And the faith that you need to have, it's in the Word of God. And the faith that Jacob need was, the Bible tells that when they fainted, notice what they did. Because I believe sometimes as Christians, when we're witnessing to people and they don't want to hear what we say, we think that we have to do something special, or we have to say something special. We have to do something to convince them. But you know what? You can't convince them.
That's right, Pastor.
Notice what they did. Look at verse number 26. And told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph's heart, Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. You know what you do when they don't want to believe you? You go back to the Word of God.
Amen, Pastor.
You go back to the Word of God. Because that's what's going to take to change their life. Because that's what it took to change my life. And if you're here this morning without Christ, the Word of God is still true. Jesus is the only way that you can get to heaven.
Amen.
He's the only way. And it ain't going to change. And I like what they did. They went right back to the Word of God. And if you go back to chapter 45, notice what they did. What did Joseph tell them? Look at verse number 7 of chapter 45. And God sent them before you. God sent me before you to preserve your prosperity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Joseph is telling them all of these things so that they would understand why he was where he was. It wasn't because of what they did. He was there because of what God was doing. And it goes back to the Word of God. And so now it was not that ye sent me hither, but God. And he have made me a father to Pharaoh and a lord of his house, a ruler throughout all of the land of Egypt. Hasten ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph. Isn't that what God tells us to do?
Mm-hmm.
Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to what? Every creature.
Every creature.
That's what it reminds me of. And he says this, God have made me a lord of Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not.
I like what the Lord said to his disciple. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Joseph said, go tell my dad to come down here where I am.
Amen.
Because I have a place for him. See, God is saying the same thing to you and I this morning. Let not our hearts be troubled, because people don't want to believe us. And they don't have to believe you, because if they make a decision for the Lord, it ought to be based on the word of God, because the word of God is true. It'll never change. You and I can change. Their feelings can change. But you know what? The word of God still has not changed.
Amen.
It's still the same. And that's what we had to go to when they don't want to believe what we said. Verse 10, he says, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near me, thou and thy children and thy children's children and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. Boy, what a mouthful that they would remind Jacob of what Joseph said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know about you, but I remember Pastor Kraft telling me the wages of sin,
amen,
is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. There's no difference between the Jew or the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Have you called upon him this morning?
Amen.
See, when I say the transition happened in my life and witnessing to my dad, I remember that time in my life where one morning I called my father, and I believe that because of what he saw in my life, it spoke volumes to him, and he was going to go into surgery one morning, and I called him about 4 o'clock in the morning and talked to him on the telephone. And I shared the gospel with my dad. And I believe that vehicle was the transition in our relationship. Because when I took the word of God and shared it with my dad, he accepted Jesus Christ,
amen,
as his Savior. See, God hasn't changed. We still to be witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
The vehicle that God uses is the word of God.
Yes,
and we got to be willing to give it even when people don't want to hear it, because God will afford you the opportunity to use his word, but we have to be willing to use his word and not our own fabrication of what God has done, but let your light so shine that people might see his good works.
Yes, sir.
And they believe your word when you say what you're saying about who Jesus really is. And I believe that with all of my heart, that the transition that took place in my life affected how my father saw my life. And when he saw my life, when I told him about the Lord, he accepted it. And the Bible tells us when Jacob saw the wagon, even after his faint of unbelief, and we look at verse number 27, and they told him all the words of Joseph, which he have said unto them. And when he saw the wagons, which Joseph has sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive, and I will go and see him before I die. When I think about it, I got a chance to share the precious word of God with my father. And when he saw the car, I believe he went back to that. My boy, he calls me, believe this. And I believe he knows what he's talking about. And my dad received Christ as his Savior.
Mm-hmm.
And I praise God for that.
Mm-hmm.
And as that message is being preached, and he's talking about the nation of Israel, I thought about the transition that took place in my life. Do you have a time of transition in your life this morning where you receive Christ as Savior? And if you have, God wants you to be a witness.
Yes, sir.
And we need to be a witness. Our country, our society, our culture is trying to influence us away from the things of God. They don't want us to live for God. And that very same man who was attacking me, it's not that we wrestle against what, Pastor? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle right. against principalities, against spiritual wickedness, what? In high places. But to combat all of that, it takes the word of God. And when Jacob saw the wagon, it's enough. My dad heard the word of God. I asked my father, I said, Dad, you're going to go into this surgery. I can't remember exactly what the surgery was. I said, you're going to go into surgery. Are you 100% sure if you were not to come out of that surgery? Are you sure that if you die, you go to heaven? Boy, I don't know that. I said, but Dad, you can know that. You can know that today. What I do, boy? I said, here's what you do. I took the scriptures and I went down through the word of God. For there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I said, Dad, if you understand that you've been in church all of your life. I said, I had been in church all my life, growing up here and where you are right now. And it wasn't until somebody took the word of God and showed me that I was a sinner. I was on my way to hell. That was what I needed in my life. And I was searching for it, and I found Christ. And it made a difference in my life. And I want you to have that same place. I want you to have it. But you can only have it unless you trust Christ. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Folks, we owe it to our family. We owe it to our dads. We owe it to our children. We owe it to our aunts. We owe it to our uncles. We owe it to people that we work with, is to share the word of God.
Amen.
God wants us to be witnesses. And it's going to make a difference. Because you know what? Everyone that we come in contact with are prospects. You know that? Don't assume nobody's saved. Tell them about Jesus. And if you got him, you don't mind telling them that you already have him.
Amen.
I don't know how many of y'all have ever met somebody that asked you where you saved. How many of y'all have ever had somebody ask you where you saved? Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. But you know what? When people come through the door of a church or go out the door, we ought to ask them, are they saved? We're to be witnesses. If you can't come to the house of God and get what you need, then you're in the wrong house of God. You ought to go somewhere where the word of God is being preached and somebody asks you the question. We have many people leave here and were offended because you asked them, or they say, what are you asking me that for? That's between me and God. You know what? What I got from Jesus Christ, I want to share it with everybody. Because I'm not ashamed. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And I'm willing to share it with anybody that's willing to listen. But you know what? You'll never share it if you're not willing to tell it. Well, maybe you won't tell it because you don't really have it. Maybe you won't tell it because you're really not excited about it. Because somebody witnessed to you. Somebody told you about your sinful condition. And you made a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ. If they haven't, let me invite you this morning to come. Not because of me. Come because of this book. And the promise of eternal life. God uses vehicles in the transition of life. In the transition of life. What about you? Have you made that transition? Because you're going to be faced with transitions in your life. And one thing I like about every transition that you ever go through in life, you can go back to the Word of God that'll help you through the transition and give you a better understanding. I believe Joseph realized why he was where he was because he said so. Jacob realized what he needed to do because of what he heard. I made the decision what I did because of what I heard. My dad made his decision because of what he heard, and it was the Word of God. I could leave Cleveland, Ohio, because this book, I can't even tell you, this passage of Scripture solidified some things in my heart and in my life. And it this ain't even what the pastor talked about, but this is what God laid on my heart.
That's good.
Can you go back to a time in your life where it was transition or transformed, where you received Christ as your Savior?
Amen.
You remember when you got saved and you were all excited about it? You couldn't wait to tell people about it. Some didn't want to hear it. Some may have received it. And I think sometimes in our Christian life, we get so caught up with all of the things that are going on, and we bicker and complain and fight with everybody about president ain't doing this and the president ain't doing it. And I'm not political, and I'm not even worried about that, because I'm just telling you, my hope is not in Donald Trump,
amen,
Hillary Clinton,
that's right,
whoever would be in office,
right,
Obama.
Amen.
It never has,
amen,
been.
That's
right. Mine's has been in Christ.
Amen.
And it still is. Because when it's all over, it ain't gonna matter what they've done.
That's
it's
right.
Gonna matter what you did with Christ. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through.
Yes.
And I don't want to become so attached to it that I'm going to live under the law. I'm going to live above the law.
Hey.
I may not go with the undertaker, but I'm okay with going with the uppertaker.
Oh, yes, Pastor.
Because I know where I'm going to go.
Me too.
What about you this morning? Where are we at this morning? Where are you at? Where are you at? You know, when I think about it, Joseph's word had a great impact in his father's life. When you think about what happened here in verse number 28, and Israel said, "It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die." You know, it's like all of us, one day we're going to die. Will you see Jesus when you die? That's a sobering question. Because if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you won't ever see him again. You'll never see him. But you got to see him from the pages of his word,
yes,
to help you with the heart condition that you have so that you can see him in heaven. Because it's not promised to those that are not his. It's only promised to those that are his. And when I think about Joseph's words, it was that he was telling them about a place that was prepared. It's like a ward that was being prepared for his family. "Come on down." Joseph urged his father Jacob to leave Egypt and come and be with him so you can fellowship with me. And not only was he going to fellowship with his father, but he says, "I'm going to take care of you." The second thing of the well-being that you can have in Jesus Christ, because when you trust Christ as Savior, everything that you'll ever have need of will be provided. That's what he's saying to his father. And the warning here is that there's a famine in the land. And the warning this morning that I will say to you this morning, that there's going to come a day where the clouds are going to be open, and if your name is not written down in the book of life, you'll never see the pearly gates.
Amen, Pastor.
You must be born again.
Amen.
You must be born again. Nicodemus said, "How can I be born when I'm already old?" You know, it's not a physical death. It's a spiritual birth that has to take place in your life. You must be born again. This is all predicated on the there. There you are, or here you are now.
Amen.
Are you dependent on yourself, or your good works, or all of those things, church membership? You know, we had all these people get baptized last week, but you know what? Baptism didn't do anything for them.
Right.
I grew up in a church, and they baptized us, all of us kids, as we was growing up when you were probably about 8, 9 years old. We could have been baptized and know every fish in the sea, and we'd never have been in heaven.
Amen, Pastor.
Because that's what they taught. But it wasn't until I left home and heard a clear presentation of the gospel. And it changed my life. It changed my dad's life. The word, the wagon, that car, I believe with all my heart, changed my dad's life. See, people can mock us because of what we believe. But see, unbelief must never silence our message before a lost and dying world. Because they don't believe it doesn't mean that we shouldn't tell them about it. Because somebody told you. And somebody was faithful enough to what they believe that they told you about Christ. I'm so glad that Pastor Kraft knocked on my door and showed me from the Bible how I could be saved. And when Jacob says it's enough, he was satisfied. His faith came into being. It was finished. It was enough. The satisfaction of knowing that he's going to be able to go and see his son because he's alive. It supported, the wagon supported his decision, this prospect of eternal life. Because if Christ is not risen, we have no message. We have no hope. But because Joseph was alive and the famine was in the land, Jacob realized he had hope. He just had to go to where that hope was. And if you're here this morning and you need to go to the hope is in Jesus Christ. It ain't changed. The believer's joy is seeing and being with Jesus Christ. We shall see him, every man that hath this hope in him, purify himself. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2 and 3. I'm going to ask you this morning, and again, and we'll close. Will you see him? If you close your eyes in this world and open them up again, will you see him? Will you see him?
Amen.
How many of us got loved ones that we've never told about Jesus Christ? How many of you have ever led somebody to the Lord? You know, the message that we have is only real to someone else if it becomes real to you.
That's right, Pastor.
I love it. And I don't mind sharing it. And they may not listen. But you know what? Just go to the next person. And God will give you courage. It's amazing. Like I said, I hear so many things this weekend, just little things that just magnified my heart. When, you know, we live in a world, make bad choices, we make bad decisions, and we want the preacher to wave a wand, and it's all going to go away. But it ain't. But I tell you what will happen. You can have the hope of heaven
if
you trust in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And if you sow some bad seeds, it's time to sow some good seeds. And the seed that needs to be sown today is a new life that is dedicated to serving a risen Savior because he's alive. He's alive. And he's worth it. Because the same salvation that you have, somebody else needs it because somebody told you. I am so thankful. But where will you be? The transition of life that God uses is the Word of God.
Amen.
Even there, he uses. That is the vehicle that God uses. Tonight, y'all come back. We'll finish the story because the car didn't stop there.
Mm-hmm.
It continued on. Tonight we're going to talk about the vineyard that God uses to transform a life. Y'all thirsty?
Amen. Oh, yeah.
Come back tonight.
Oh, yeah, Pastor, I am. Amen.
But let's do this. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. No one looking around but me. We're going to ask our pianist to come and play a hymn of invitation. You know, as I think about this message, as God began to work in my heart, I thought about the vehicle that we drove from Shreveport to Cleveland was nothing like the one we drove from Hosky to Winton, because it made a difference in my dad's life. And I believe that it made a difference in Jacob's life. See, we're going to go through some transitions in our life. But we have to come to the point where we believe that we need what God has. And that's, first of all, a home in heaven. If you're here tonight or here this morning, no one looking around, heads high and eyes are closed. If you're here this morning and you're not 100% sure that if you die, you go to heaven, I want you to just look at me. No one looking around, heads bowed, eyes are closed. Is there someone here this morning that would honestly say in their heart of hearts, Pastor White, I'm not sure that heaven would be my home? Anyone like that here this morning? You know, you're amongst friends. You're amongst people that love you. You're amongst somebody that's praying for you. You're amongst somebody that wants to see you have this same place that's waiting for you. Will you just be honest with yourself this morning? I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to try to embarrass you. I want to pray for you that God will give you the courage to open your eyes and say, Pastor White, I'm not sure. Is anyone here like that this morning? Heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. Maybe God is speaking to your heart about something that you need to do. Maybe this church is a place that you need to come and place your membership. I don't know if it is. Maybe God is dealing with your heart about some things that you know that you're not doing. And you need to come and confess those things. Maybe God is dealing with your heart about being a witness and a testimony, telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God speaks to our hearts in volumes of ways, in so many different ways. The message that I heard in Cleveland was nothing like the message that I shared this morning. But God spoke to my heart in such a way that I realized that God uses his word, and he said it'll never return unto him void. But we got to believe his word. You got to believe it to receive him. You got to believe it to witness it and to tell others about it. Because if you don't, it'll never have been accomplished that God pleases to accomplish, because he said it'll never return unto him. You know, this world needs what you and I have. No one looked up this morning, so I'm assuming, but you know what? I'm not going to make any assumptions, but I just want to let you know that you're here amongst people that love you, and we're going to pray for you this morning. And I pray that God will work in your heart this morning, whatever it is that God would have you to do. You don't have to do it for me, but I want you to do it because you love God. I want you to come to an old-fashioned altar. Maybe God has spoken in your heart about something that you need to come and deal with this morning. You know, as the pastor was saying, when we were at the men's conference, a lot of people never come to the altar because they are ashamed or they're afraid that people are going to look at them. You know what? Just be honest with God that you're not where you need to be. Because the only way that God can work in your heart is that you surrender that heart to him and not let pride stand in your way. Pride has sent a lot of people to hell. The heart and the decision is only about 4 inches away. You have to receive it and understand it in your mind that it might reciprocate itself in your heart in order for you to be saved. Let's all stand at our feet, head bowed, eyes closed. Maybe God, again, I say, has spoken in your heart. You need to come to the old-fashioned altar and deal with God this morning. We're not going to pressure you. We're not going to twist your arm. God, how I pray this morning, and thank you for the word of God. And I know that even in this crowd of people, there may be someone still here this morning that's not willing to make that decision. But I pray you continue working that heart, working that life. And on whatever that this altar is open for, I pray that it might meet the need of everyone that would come and surrender to what you're dealing with their hearts about. I thank you so much for the word of God, the truth that can be found in it. What a blessing it is to know that your word is still true through all that we go through. It's still the answer.
Amen.